All right, so today's daf is daf mem vav. We're actually on daf mem vav. Mem test. We are on mem test. We're on the top of mem test. So the Gemara is going to... Oh, today's daf is sponsored by the Daskal family. Lezecher Nishmas Menucha Freidel Pas Yaakov Yehuda. Shalom Shalom Aliyah. Okay, so the Gemara is now going to explain the din, again, of a daughter whose father sent her off to the Shluchei Abal. And then she went back. Now she goes back to her husband, her father's house, meaning before she enters the husband's house, she goes back to the father's house. Either the wedding doesn't go through. So the Ema, can we say, Hecha the Harjala Bein Nasha, when she goes back, if she would go back to her father's house before the Shluchim pass her off to the husband, Harjala Milsa Kamaisa, does she go back to the original death? Because we said, once she gets married, she's Iprechenek. But if she's a Nara, she goes, it's the Namorosa, the Misa is Skila, right? So, Amar Rava, Ahu Kvar Pascha, this was already asked, Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel in the base measures of Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, learned in the base measures of Rabbi Shmuel, they're talking about the Parsha of Hafaras Nadarim. It says, V'neider Almana Ugrusha, Kol Asher Asra Al Nafsha, Yakum Aleah. So an almana and a grusha, every nedar she takes, it's on her. The husband or the father cannot be made for the nedarim. It's Yakum Aleah. It's on her. So we say, Mal Tamid Lomer. What's the chiddush of the pasuk? What's the pasuk coming to tell me? Valo Mutzeis Rechlalav or Mutzeis Rechlalav. If she's an almana or she's a grusha, what would be the have mean that the father or the husband could be made from the darim? She's no longer in the rishus of the father because she left the rishus of the father when she went to the rishus of the husband. And then when she got divorced, the husband died, she's out of the rishus of the husband. So of course she would be her who could be made for her own the darim. What's it coming to teach us? Yeah. Ella, so must be the case. So it can't be teaching the regular case that you would think it would be talking about. Ella, Haresha, Masar Ha'av, L'Shluchei Abal. We're talking about a case where the father hands her over to the Shluchim of the Baal. Or the shluchim of the father send her over to the shluchim of the Baal, and then before she goes into the husband's rishus, and she makes a neder there, right? And during that time, she makes a neder. Vinis armala baderech on his garsha. Either her husband dies, or he just says, "No, forget it." So heyach ani koreba. When whose rishus is she in? Beis avia shel zo, or beis baal shel zo? Is she in her husband's? In her father's rishus, and therefore he can be made for a neder. Is she in her husband, in the husband's rishus, and he can be made for the neder? No, she's in either rishus. El lomelcha, it comes to teach you. Kevan sheyotza sha'achas mishus ha'av. Once she leaves her husband's father's rishus for one moment, shuv enu yochel ha'afer. He can no longer be made for the neder. And once she's out of the father's rishus, and then she's not in the husband's rishus because he divorced her or he died. That's what the pasuk comes to teach us. That if she goes back, heichan dehadra lebein nasha, she just like by nedarim, she's not chosen to reshus the father, and therefore he cannot be made for nedarim. So too by znus, even though she goes back to live by her father, she is no longer in her father's reshus, and therefore if she was mizana, it would be chenek, it wouldn't be skila. Fine. Question they asked who said, it says right here, I have to look this further. It says right here that Kevin Shayotza Sha'achas Mishosav, the moment she leaves her father's Rishos, she's no longer Yachel, he can't be made for the Neder. But we just said yesterday on Mem Chesam and Beis, there was a Machlokas Amarayim, if the Baal can be made for her Nedarim when he sends her over to the Shluchim of the husband. And the Maskana of the Gemara we saw yesterday was that the Halacha was like Shmuel, that says that the husband cannot be made. Sorry, the question over there was whether the Baal can be made for the Nedarim once she's in the Rishus of the agents. And the Maskar of the Gemara over there was that the Lach is like Shmuel, that Ein HaBaal made for Nedarea. Right? So over there it's Mashma, the husband cannot. Mashma, that the father can. And here we're saying the father can. So it's okay, so neither can. But it's just you have to work out the two sugyas. Okay. So now the Gemara is going back to the main thrust of the Braisa that we saw on Mem Chesam Beis, that a Na'ara Shenimsra L'Shluchei Abal, and a Na'ara who's sent over to the Shluchim, to the agents of the husband, she's no longer B'Skila, she is B'Chenek, because she's considered married. So Amarav, sort of like this, you have Erusin, Nisuin, and then I have this in-between status, where she's in between Erusin and Nisuin, but she's not in the father's Rishos, she's not in the husband's Rishos. It's like another quasi-status.
Only
Most of these things, Bar Marasa is where we talked about that skila. A lot of these things only apply.
Is it like in the suin state or not? So, like, is it quasi in the suin since she's in the husband of the shush? So, is it make a difference if it's a
I think so.
Or an Ira?
I think so, because once she's married. Once she's married. Maybe. So Amar Papa, Afanan Tanina. We also can learn this from a Brisa. There's a Mishnah, I think.
Mishnah.
This is a Mishnah, right?
Yeah.
All right. Haba al Na'ara Hamurasa. Someone has relations with a Na'ara Hamurasa. Eino Chayiv. He's not Chayiv, meaning doesn't get Skila. Achetehe, the following the conditions in order for an Aram Urasa to get Skila, otherwise it's Chanek. Achetehe, and of course the Hasra and all the other things that have to be taken place. She has to be Na'ara Besula, she has to be a Na'ara who's Besula, who's Me'urasa, Vihibe Vesavia, and she has to be in her father's husband, house. So Bishma Na'ara, I understand what Na'ara is. Na'ara is Velo Bogeris, she has to be a Na'ara, not a Bogeris. Because once she's a Bagara, she's no longer Skila. Ubisula velobula, she has to be a Basula, not a Bula. And Mu'urasa, she has to be Mu'urasa, comes to exclude Nesua. Once she's Nesua, she's no longer Chayav in Skila. But what does it mean at the end, Bevesavia lamute mai? What does it mean, she has to be Bevesavia? So Elav, the Mu'ute, comes to exclude our case of Masarav, Shluchayabal, even though she's not really married yet, because she doesn't have Chuppah, but she's no longer in the Rishas Aval, she doesn't get the Misa of Skila, she only gets the Misa of Chenek. Another proof, Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Afana Nami Tanina. I can learn it from another Mishnah. There's also a Mishnah, right? Haba al Eishes Ish, someone who has relations with a married woman. Kevon Shenichnasa L'Rishus Habal L'Nisuin. Once she enters the husband's Rishus for Nisuin, Afal Pishal Nivla. Even if there was no Bia, Haba Alea Harezer B'Chenek. If you have relations with her, that's Chenek. So Gemara says, Nichnasa l'rishus habal ba'alma. It just says once she enters the rishus. It doesn't say once she enters chuppah. It's once she enters the rishus. Once she enters the rishus, I guess when you hand it over to the shluchim, shema amina, that even in the case of masra av, the shluchay abal, where she's now in the rishus, so to speak, she's in the chater, or in the ownership of the husband, she's no longer b'chenek, her misa is b'skila, shema amina. In that case, the misa is chenek, not skila. Okay. Sorry? Next Mishnah. Okay, next Mishnah. So the Mishnah, we're going to see that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis talks about the certain clauses that the Beis Din will require a person to write in his wife's ksuba. One of those obligations was that the daughters that are born can get his nechasim until they grow up or until they get married. Meaning that, and you'll see in Suvin Gemara, there was apparently no obligation for a father to support his children. There was no obligation to support him. The question of how young, whatever, there seemed to be no obligation for them to support their children. So, basically. So the Mishnah is going to explain that this chiyuv that they put on the Mishnah that they gave that you have to support the daughters is really after death, but during his lifetime the father has no obligation to support his daughters.
Any age, yeah. Above 12.
Seems to be any age, from at least initially. So ha'av eino chayuv b'mizonos bito.
Solves
a big tuition problem. So it comes up whether or not there is a shaila whether or not the money you spend on tuition for your daughters can count as maaser. I'd love to. I mean, I'd be done. I mean, we'll all be done. So, av eno chayiv. It depends on the neighborhood. Av eno chayiv mizonos bito. The father is not obligated for the sustenance of his daughter. Zem midras darash will be less than a zayil of necham b'kerem b'yavne. Right now the Mishnah just says, as long as he's alive, he doesn't have to do it, right? Rashi says, b'chayov, and Gemara refers to my nakabito. The Gemara is going to ask, oh, why only the daughter? It's taken as a given. Why? What about the son? Why not? Okay, so this is the drasha that Rav Elazar ben Azariah spoke before the Chum and Karen B'Yavne. When Rav Elazar ben Azariah came from the story in Brachos, and from the Seder, he became the Nasi. So he said this takana in, he made this in Karen B'Yavne, which is, Habonim Yirshu, Labonos Yizono. The Bonim Yirshu is talking about the Ksuva Binim Dichrin, which basically means when the father-in-law puts dowry into the Ksuba, they make a tanai in the ksuba that if the daughter wife dies, those possessions will be inherited by the father-in-law's grandchildren, not the husband's other sons. His grandsons. No, because she can have more children. She can have more children with the. Alright, it's his grandchildren that will get it. Not anything that the husband brings in. That's one different. And also the habanos yizonu, and the daughters will get sustenance
from the estate,
which means post death, right? So ma habanim einam yorshim el afar misasav, just like the sons don't yarshin until after the father dies. Af habanos ein yizonos el afar misasav avian. So too, the daughters only get this sustenance upon the death of the father. Gives a little incentive, but there's no no sustenance, no mizonos until the death. Okay, so the Gemara makes a diuk. The diuk from the Mishnah is, the Mishnah says, the father is not obligated to provide mizonos for his daughter. So the Gemara says, mizonos bito hu de'enu chayev.
What about the
son? Right? It's mashma that the mizonos of the sons, he is chayev. And also, bito nami, it's also the eno chayev mizonos bito. He's not obligated to provide his daughters with sustenance. Chovu de'leka, there's no obligation. Ha mitzvah ika, but there is a mitzvah that he's supposed to do that to give. Meaning, if there's no obligation, means you can't force him, but he really should be doing it. You can do other things to do it to him to convince him. So money must nisen. So who, according to whose shita, would our Mishnah be following? The Gemara assumes lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. We're going to bring these three shitas, and apparently, based on the yukon that we just made, the Mishnah is not going to be in accord with either any three of these shitos. This sanya, as we learned in a brisa. Mitzvah lazon es habanos. There is a mitzvah, not a chiyuv, but there is a mitzvah to provide mizonos to the daughters. The kavachomer labanim and kavachomer on the sons. The askim Torah, because since they're learning Torah, divrei Rabbi Meir. Those are the words of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, mitzvah lazonos habanim is a mitzvah to provide sustenance to the sons, the kavachomer labanos, and the kavachomer goes the other way, you have to provide sustenance to the daughters. Basically, for pouring to both of them, it's a mitzvah to do both. The question is, which one's first? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the sons, it seems to be the sons are first. According to Rabbi Meir, it seems to be that the daughters are the other way around. Yeah. The kavachomer. According to Rabbi Meir, the daughters are first. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the sons are first. I repeat myself. According to Rabbi Meir, it is the sons are first. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the daughters are first because it's a kavah chomer, right? Mishum zilusa says Rabbi Yehuda because it's zilusa to have them the daughters begging. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Chayev lazon es habanos laachar misas avien is an obligation to provide for the daughters after the death. That's one of the tanai ksuva. Aval b'chayev avien, but during the lifetime of the father, elu v'elu, both the sons and the daughters, ain't lizonim. There's no mitzvah. There's nothing to. You don't have to provide them with anything. Whatever. No. So money must nisen.
This is not even a mitzvah here.
Right. So money must nisen. So who is our Mishnah like? Our Mishnah seems to indicate,
wait,
based on...
Why isn't it considered stuff then?
We'll get to it. So our Mishnah seems to indicate, Mani Mas Nisan, E. Rabbi Meir, there is a major machlok supposed to be, whether the money you use to support your children can count as Meisr as well. So a lot of them, Moshe has a tshuva on it, and I'm not getting into it. I'm sure other Magid Eshir will talk about the halachic ramifications of that, but you have to ask your local Orthodox competent halachic decisor will tell you what counts towards Meisr and what does not count.
I'm saying, let's say you have, there's no chiyuv to feed
right.
Children.
Okay, so that we'll get to. Okay, so Mani Mas Nisan, E Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir, we can't say, Ha Amar Bani Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says that it is a mitzvah to support the sons. There's no chov to support the sons, and the diak we made in our Mishnah was that the banim, the banos you don't, but the banim there is an obligation to support the sons. The Rabbi Yehuda can't be ha'amar banim nami mitzvah. He said also that the sons are also just a mitzvah, and our diak from our Mishnah is that it's an obligation for the sons. The Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, if it's hafilu mitzvah nami leka, at least in our Mishnah we said it is a mitzvah to support the daughter. That was the diak. He says there's no mitzvah whatsoever. So who's our Mishnah going like? So the Gemara says, all right, you said the Mishnah doesn't go like any three. The Mishnah can go like all three. Ibai Yisema, Rav Meir, Ibai Yisema, Rav Yehuda, Ibai Yisema, Rav Yochanan ben Baroka. We can make the Mishnah fit into any of the three Shitos. Ibai Yisema, Rav Meir. You can say our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. Right, Rav Meir held, again, that it's a mitzvah to support the daughters, Kavachomer for the sons. V'hachi ka'amar. And our Mishnah seems to indicate that there is a chov on the sons. V'hachi ka'amar. Ha'av einu chayit b'mezonos bito v'hu adin libno. No, don't make that diyut. The Mishnah is saying that the father is not obligated to support the daughter. He's also not obligated to support the son. Ha'mitzvah b'vito iko. There is a mitzvah on the daughter. V'kavachomer b'labanim. And kavachomer is a mitzvah to support the sons. V'hayit katani bito. And why does it say bito that there's no obligation, which we thought made a diyuk, that there is an obligation for the son, and now we're saying not to make that diyuk. V'hayit katani bito. Ha'kamash melon. It's coming to teach us the following. Da'filo bito chova hu deleka ha'mitzvah iko. Even by the daughter, right, that there's no, because we're saying it's a kavach, we said that the filobito, which I think Rashi says, the kilo de lo iska b'oraisa, which is more mako. The sons are more, you should assume more of an obligation because they're learning Torah. Even the daughter, there's still a mitzvah. That's where he's coming. That's what the diak is. Don't be medayik that there is an obligation on the son. Just be medayik that there's, even on the daughters, there's a mitzvah. Do it reverse.
Don't have a meaning that the girls might learn some Torah, right?
I mean, huh? Now you're imposing.
I'm not saying compulsory. I'm saying just.
But now you're imposing. Now you're imposing our understanding in contemporary society. Yeah. I don't think it was. I mean,
Beis Yaakov, not even like.
Theory. No, but that's why Beis Yaakov was a Chiddush. If there was a Beis Yaakov all those times, and Shor Shneir would have had 40,000 girls at the.
Not for something. Forget
no.
Dance studies. Is a
no.
Basic,
no. Half the men didn't learn either; they were illiterate. Most people in those days. How many people?
So you had Tanoim and Moriah, you had illiterate. It wasn't.
Yeah, basically, that's what I think. So yeah, pretty much.
We're not like that till 100 years ago.
Up to the days of the giants, just the few, the select few, and everyone else was like.
Which in Europe?
Back then, whatever.
In Europe, it depends who's teaching you the history. But one part of history will tell you that in Europe, everybody was a gadol, everybody was frum, and everything was amazing. Or you learn history and say that it wasn't the case. That you had a bunch of people who learned in the Beis Medrash, you had a bunch of gadolim, and you had people who just were cobblers and knew nothing. And they did, and the women did Sener Rena all day. That's what it was.
Even Sener Rena before Beis Medrash, that's
they learned how to read. I'm saying, but they didn't learn in a that's
formal
in Europe. There was no formal way. And back then, I don't know what it was back then, but my assumption was that people were not so literate for the most part. That could be wrong. Happened before, more often than not. Okay, the Ibai's aim of Rabbi Yehuda, or you can say our Mishnah is like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who Yehuda says that it's a mitzvah on the sons, kavachomer to the daughters. But Hachik Amar, and this is what the Mishnah says: Ha'av enu chayv mizonos bito. The father is not obligated to provide for his daughters, even though you have to worry about her kvoda and etznius. The koshkein the bino, and koshkein he's not obligated to support his sons. Ha mitzvah bino ika the kavachomer lebanos. So there's a mitzvah on the son, to support the son, and it's a kavachomer of a mitzvah to support the daughter. Bito. So why does our Mishnah say bito, and say dafil is a mitzvah by the daughter, which seems to indicate there's an obligation by the son? Hakamash malon, dafilu bito chovaleka. It comes to teach us that even by the daughter, which you would have thought, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is more of a svar to say that you should support her, nevertheless it comes to teach us there's only a mitzvah, there's no obligation. Ribai Seimer Rabbi Yochanan Broka, or you can say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who says there's no mitzvah at all. But Hachika Amar, and this is what our Mishnah says: Einu Chayv Zonos Bito. He's not obligated to support his daughter. Vehu Adin Livno, and he's not obligated to support his son. Vehu Adin Afilu Mitzvah Namilekem. Also, Vehu Adin that there's no mitzvah. Einu Chayv doesn't mean that there's a mitzvah. Einu Chayv means there's no obligation. There's nothing whatsoever. But Aidi Divanos LaAchar Misas. So why does it say? Why does it say the lashon of Einu Chayv? It should just say there's no mitzvah. He used the lashon of Chayv. Because after the death there is an obligation. So he mentioned that there's no obligation pre-death, but there's not only no obligation before death, there's no mitzvah either. Amar Rabbi Yula, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, the Usha, and when the Sanhedrin sat in Usha, which is one of the ten Golios that they talk with the Sanhedrin was go, you know, travel around. When they were in Usha, he skimmed the Meitakana, she Adam Zan as Banov, the Asbinosav, Kishahin Kitanin. They made a takana that they should support the sons and daughter when they are little. Which the Gemara says out that that means it's really, really little. Up to six.
I'm just curious, what happened before that?
I don't know. But
who was
people
supporting the 3-year-old?
I don't know what's going on. Were they dying in the street? I mean, what? I don't know.
This is practical.
Ibai Luhu. Hilchas like Uvasei or Ainuch Uvasei? Is the halacha like Usha or not like halacha like Usha? So, meaning, oh no, sorry. Kirby Huda Bachanina. Yeah. So, is there a chiyuv to support your children when they're little, or there is not no chiyuv to support your children? So the Gemara is going to bring down Maisim now, where the Chachamim like try to cajole people to support, which is mashma that there's no obligation. They just try to, you know, they try to like embarrass them into it, but they didn't force them. So Tashma, learn the following: ki have asu come into Rabbi Yehuda. So when they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda, which means I think they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda that was somebody who was not supporting his young children. Amar lahu. So Rabbi Yehuda says to him, Yarud yalda va'abonei masu shadya. A jackal gives birth, right, and you're throwing your children onto the tzibur, I guess, for parnasa. It's sort of like a mashal to say, like, a jackal is the one who's really you're behaving like a jackal is very achzori, who doesn't support his children. Rashi gives to Rashi says yarud tanin yarud yaldav avnei matashaja ha tanin holi tolosov veitil parnasasov avnei ir. Right, you're like a guy who has no, you have no rachmanas, and you're making everybody else support kiha, but he didn't force him. He's trying to embarrass him. Another ma'isek, you have also the comment of Rav Chisda, when they came in front of Rav Chisda, people who were not dealing with the mezonos for their young children, Amalahu, Rav Chisda said to them, kefule asisa b'tzibura, turn over some basket while you're in public, I guess, and then stand on it. Not a question of who's standing on the basket, whether the guy's standing on the basket or this vekar is standing on the basket, v'leikum v'leima, and get up, and you should say, orva boy b'nei, v'ahu gavar lo boy b'nei, even the raven, or even the raven wants his children, and you don't want the children. He doesn't care. And the Orev does care for his children. The Gemara says, "Wait a second. This is the Kashya Gemara asks. But Orva by Benay, does the raven really care for his children? We have a pasuk. V'aksev nosim lehem alachma ulevnei Orev shekro. Hashem has to provide for the young of the Orev. Meaning that the Orev parents do not provide for their children. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, there's no difference. Ha b'chivure, ha b'ukume. When they're white, it's one way. When they're black, the other way. Rashi says, it's interesting. What? Rashi says, it's reverse discrimination here, according to Rashi. Rashi says, when they're born, they're white. And when they get older, they change to black. So when they're black, the mother and father love them. When they're white, the black ravens hate the white children because they don't recognize them. Okay.
Huh?
So,
say what?
Next case, he have a usi lekami de Rava. When they brought in front of Rava a father who was also not providing sustenance to his young children, Amar Lei, Rava says to him, "Nichalachdim itzani banich mitzaka. It's good for you. You prefer that your children would get supported from tzaka." Seems to be also they had a much, much better stucco system in the neighborhood, whereby there was like there was the gabbai and people who needed it went, and there was available for them.
Yeah, the soup kitchen,
I understand, but still, you have these.
These are all Amorai in the bubble, and above them, generally more wealthier than they were in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that they're being supported is a little bit interesting.
It is funny. I mean, I always the whole thing is like reminds me of like Oliver Twist when these kids, you know, running around the street trying to get. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, even until the modern era, you have these kids who were begging all over the place.
Forget the chov or anything. How about the paternal instinct?
So we're not talking about the paternal instinct. We're talking about the obligation.
We're Rachmanim. Well, Rachman is not considered a descendant of Avram, right? We have all those gemaras like that.
So he's a jerk, but he's no obligation.
We're talking about in general. No,
I understand. So he's an idiot. He's not a nice guy. But where's the chiyuv?
He's not obligated.
To separate the two. Gemara's separating the two. Gemara's talking about. But can you? So if there is an obligation, if you're talking about from you, the way you're saying it, we can't force him to do it because there's no obligation. If it's a chiv, you can force him. You can't force someone to use common sense.
Well,
Nachum will tell you that all the time. You can't legislate common sense.
No, but can you force a guy to go in a sukkah? You can't.
So what? You can. You can force people to do mitzvahs. In those days, the basic could be mocking somebody to do a mitzvah. They could force them. They can't. If it's not a chiyuv, you can't.
They beat him.
You smack the guy.
He didn't go in the sukkah. They're going to force him to go in the sukkah?
You could.
They would have done that?
You could.
Sure would.
Okay. So, velo amaron, but the fact that we said that we're not forcing the father to give sustenance to his son, children, it's ela delo amid. That's only if he's not wealthy. Aval amid, if he's wealthy, kafinan le al karche. We force him, because it's just like staka. We're forcing him, we might as well give staka to him. Tosha asks how you can force with staka. It's a mitzvah, shemat and tzcharim and tzidon. You're not supposed to be able to force in those cases. But, he says you force him. If he's wealthy, kiha de Rava, like Rava kafil Rav Nachman Bar Ami, Rava was forced Rav Nachman Bar Ami va'afik minei Abram meyazuz tztaka, and he took from him 400 zuz for tztaka. So we can force the husband, the father, to provide tztaka if he's wealthy enough. So he'll force him to provide tztaka, and I guess we'll take the tztaka money and give it to the kids. Okay, our sensibilities are shocked basically by at least mine are by this. So. I don't know. I like the idea of using your miser money to pay for tuition, at least for your daughters, especially those of us who have lots of daughters. Okay. So the Gemara had mentioned before atakana usha, right? The kana usha was that the mizonos for the father has to provide mizonos for the young children, which we ended up saying we don't pass them like anyway. But once we're talking about takanas from usha, we're going to bring another takana that they instituted, the Sanhedrin instituted when they were usha, in usha. Amar Rav Ila, Amar Reish Lakish, but usha iskino, in usha they made a takana, hakosev kol nechasev livanov, hu v'ishto nizolim mehem. A guy during his lifetime, right, takes a shtar, and he says, all of my possessions belong to my son. All of my possessions belong to my son. Does he still keep a bit in order to support himself and his wife? Or does that mean everything was transferred over to the son? So Maskif Le Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera asked Akasha on this Takana. Some say it was Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Gedola Mizo Amro. What are you talking about? There's a Takana that's even a bigger Kiddush. This is nothing. I have a bigger Kiddush. Gedola Mizo Amro. Almana nizonos min chasav hu v'ishto miboyi. So what's going on here? Let's read Rashi. Gedolim mizu amru. Rashi says, if you see what you want to see, the gedolim mizu amru. Begedolim mizu amru. Kegon almana ubas unisei sabas. So you have a widow and her daughter, and the daughter gets married. Sha'afo pisha hu meis. So the husband died. He left over a widow and a daughter. The daughter is the one who yarshins the father. Now the daughter gets married. The husband, the son-in-law, gets the possessions, and he's basically considered a lokeach, and a lokeach is not shabed to; he doesn't have any to support the almana, right? So he says, "Bigdolim is u'amru, an almana ubas v'nisas abas sha'avol pishes shehu meis v'hanechasim nishtabdu lokeach der abanan kigon baal b'nechse ishto." We shouldn't really take from the nechasim hamushubadim to support the wife. And here, the rabbanim viewed the husband not as a yorish, but as a lokeach, and therefore he has, and it's meshuba to him. The whole reason why we do it over there is because of tikkun olam issue. Here there's no tikkun olam issue because no one else is buying. We say over there that the almanah should get mizonos. So we say over there that the almanah should get mizonos. Kol shekein in our case that he should be able to get the mizonos because it's clearly, I guess, a lokeach, right? Rashi says, "Who the ishto mibayi?" It's a kavah chomer seems to be. Do we need to say that he gets mizonos? The children are not considered lukuchos. We view them as not lukuchos. In the case of the almana, we don't view the son-in-law as a lokeach because we're forcing him to support the almana. So to here, don't view the son as a lokeach and allow for extra sustenance for the father and for his wife. So the Gemara says, the shalich ravim beigrite. As we're learning again, what's what I said? We're learning. The Shalach Ravin Igrite, Ravin sent in a letter.
He's got early
appointments. All right. The Shalach Ravin Igrite, Misha makes Veiniach Almana Ubas. Someone dies and he leaves over an Almana and a daughter. Almana so Nizonos Minachasav. The Almana gets support from the Nechasim. Nisei Sabas, even if the daughter gets married, Almana Nizonos Minachasav, the Almana still gets support. Mesa Habas, if the daughter then dies, and therefore her husband is Yorish anything, is Yorish everything, Amr Rav Yehuda ben Achosel, Shem Rav Yosef ben Chanina, Al Yedi Hayim Maisav, Amru, Almanoso Nichadonis Minichasav, Huvi Ishto Min Bani. The Amman is constantly getting the support. This means that we're not viewing this as a case of a Lokeach. So therefore she gets the support. So Huvi Ishto Min Bani. So we need to even ask the question of whether or not the father and the wife can take Mizonos from what they transfer over to the son? Of course they can. The Gemara says no. There's a big difference. Ma the Tema, you would have thought. So in other words, what's the Chiddush of Holchayusha? Why is Holchayusha telling this? Oh, the father and the wife, when they transfer over the Nechasim to the son, they can still take enough for sustenance. The Almana can even get the sustenance. Of course they can. So Gemara says no. You would have had a Havimina. Havimina would have been different. Mahu the Tema, you would have thought Hassam there by the Almana who the Leka the Tarich. There's no the reason why we force the son-in-law, in that case, to support the Almana, because what's she supposed to do? She can't get a job. What is she supposed to do? To have support. But Aval Hacha, but here, where the husband is alive, Nitra Chadeh Lidah, go get another job. Go work. You were a fool and gave all your money over to your son. Now you want support? Go get a job. Who says someone has to support you? Get a job. Nitrach the day ulida kamash malan. There was a takan lechacham. Then in this case, that they would still be able to take mizonos from the estate. So ibay lehu hilchus akavasei or less hilchus akavasei. Is the halacha like Ravi La in this case or not? Meaning, can the father and his wife still take mizonos from the property that he transferred over to the son? So, and we said that they can. So now we're going to prove again. 0 for 2, Usha's going to be, Holchei Usha will be 0 for 2, the Halacha is not like that. Tashma, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonasan, Havu Kameh, Rabbi Chanina was sitting with Rabbi Yochanan, Asa, Ahu Gavra, Gochin, Vinashke, Rabbi Yochanan Akarye. And this one man came over, bent down, and he kissed Rabbi Yonasan on his legs, on his knees, kissed him on his feet. Amr Le, Rabbi Chanina, so Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Yonasan, my hi, what's up? What's going on here? So Amr Le, Sir Yonasan said, listen, this guy, Kosev Nechasim Levanavu, he made the mistake and he wrote all his Nechasim to his son, right? The Asinusu Lizane, and I forcefully forced his son to provide him for support. So the Gemara is going to say, so Iyamarta Bishmalav Dina Mishum Haki Asinhu. If the halacha is that he doesn't have to, so that comes to say Rav Yochanan forced him. I think it's the other way around. But he forced him. But Ella I Amar Dina, if you say that there's a mitzvah, there's a chov to give the father the mazonos, did he have to force him? Why would he have to force him? That's how Rashi seems to learn it. Rashi says, I Dina hu, if it's a din, ain't kangamilus tova, la hachsik lo tova, shall korchol yishpo to emet. I'll just give judge. It seems to be that Rav Yonasan did this, forcing the son to give. So you see from here that since it was done out of court and not done within court, the halacha is not in accord with the Holchei Usha, and therefore Holchei Usha over two. The halacha is not like them. Okay, we will stop here a bit early and work a chazer right when Marcel walked in. Everybody have a good day.